How's it, everybody, and welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronald over there in Germany. Ronnie, the lead up to the quarterfinals of the ERC, how are you feeling that side?
No, confident. I'm near the top, as I usually am, and I expect to finish off strong.
So I know I was.
Well, we're talking about Super Brew.
I know I was able to show you this when you were in South Africa, but you actually have to turn your phone around so that it faces up and then look at the log. That's the way it actually is. It doesn't help to hold your phone upside down and then think you're winning, Ronnie.
So, sorry, did you turn 53 recently because your dad jokes are horrible?
Yeah, listen to this. So what did you get up to this weekend, Ronnie? How was your dried fish? I hope it was terrible.
I haven't had it. I think it's next week, actually.
You think it's next week?
You keep asking me. This is like the third week you've asked me now.
Well, and every time you say, I think it's next week, can you get a fucking diary or something?
Yeah, okay. Just be less aggressive, please. Can you tell us why we're late for the podcast today? What were we waiting for?
Yeah, so we were out on the golf cart picking some pecan nuts and driving back. Just so you're aware, I got this thing fixed last week because it was giving problems. And boom, the battery conked out again. So had to push the golf cart home, but we got it into the garage and it's charging now. Not fun pushing that. It's not the easiest push, and my scrumming days are well and truly behind me.
Do you not know how to push start a manual vehicle?
How to push start it? It's not petrol, my friend.
Yeah, it is a petrol one.
It is a petrol one. Listen to this. It's battery powered.
Listen, your car has got petrol in it. It also has a battery. That does not mean it's battery powered, my friend. Do I have to explain these things to you?
This was a golf cart, not my car.
Yeah, you've got a petrol golf cart.
Okay, Ronnie, you know what? When you come and visit again, I'm going to pop you out on that thing far away in the estate and let you try push start it. Even though as I'm saying this, realizing how bad of an idea this is, because you're just going to leave my golf cart at the end of the estate.
I'm glad you answered that dumb question.
So, Ronnie, did you manage to catch any of the finals that were on this weekend?
No, I had a university event yesterday in Bremen.
Oh, and, what was that all about?
And he got back at 3:45 this morning. So it's been a rattle for the day.
What were you doing?
Me and the youth. Yeah, I was partying with the youths.
With the youths? Were you actually partying, or were you the dad there giving them the lecture about drinking wisely and putting their coats on?
Well, let's just say we spent a lot of time outside the train station with beer in hand in public. Perfectly acceptable here in Germany for some reason.
The last time I saw you drinking outside of a train station, it was in Midrand and you were slicking a hobo's whiskey.
That's not true. Never do that.
Oh, Ronnie, well, on Friday night we had Bath taking on Lyon. The games were both held in Cardiff. We know the finals venue is selected for a host city, doesn't matter who the teams are. And Bath getting a 37-12 point win over Lyon. I was a little bit surprised by the scoreline there. I did think Bath might tip it. But all in all, well done to the guys from England under Johan van Graan.
I feel like we perfectly summed it up last week, saying Lyon had to travel just that little bit extra further, and that was going to count against them. And Bath just probably had to drive down the road. We know that the UK is very small. So also, I suppose I'm a little bit surprised, but very happy for Johan and Thomas the Tank.
Yeah, so I mean, they lifted the Prem Cup, which is like a little mini trophy. They've now got the EPCR title, and they're potentially in line to win the Premiership. They've got a home semi secured. They can get through that and get through a final. They'll have completed a treble. And I mean, Bath, when Johan van Graan joined in 2022, were bottom of the Prem. So I think they'll be quite delighted with his signing over there.
Yeah, a lot of South African coaches doing a lot of great things around the world. There's, of course, many people that want him to also be in line for the Springbok coaching role. But I think he's also said that he's going to commit and stay there till, what, 2030 or something? Can't recall that exactly. But yeah, great coach doing great things.
Yeah, and I mean, it just showed in this game again that defense really does win titles, because Bath in the second half, or sorry, in the first half, were reduced to 13 men. They suffered two yellow cards and didn't concede a try there leading into the break. And you know, that mentality in a team, that doggedness on defense, something we saw from the Boks in 2019, you know, keeping England out on the try line for that extended period. that sort of grit really is what makes a champion team in my mind.
Yeah, of course. So that's Friday night's game, Bath, Leon. I feel like we predicted, at least Ronnie said it last week, so Ronnie knows his stuff. You just agreed with his predictions. But then there was another game that happened, Saints versus Bordeaux, which again, Ronnie and myself predicted spot on once again. So yeah, if you're ever in doubt, just do what Ronnie does.
Or the exact opposite if you want to win. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was really bleak to see that you got this one on Super Brew. I mean, you said by 2 to Bordeaux. I said by 2 to Saints. So we were really taking the swing vote there and hoping for the margin.
Bro, you're an idiot. Last week you said you agreed that Bordeaux would win and then you switched it in the last minute. Were you just playing mental games there?
I was, Ronnie, and that didn't work out. And then it was really frustrating to see that you were going to be on the winning side of this one. But I am very happy to see that you're not in the top 10 on Super Brew. I mean, I don't know why it would surprise me because you're never, ever there. But Perot Munro, he's a Shark supporter. He wins Investec Champions Cup in our Rugby Punted Super Brew pool. So please, please do, Gerard, get out in touch with us. We'd love to send you some May Fokchom merch. And maybe Ronnie will send you an apology card in there too for how cucky is at Super Brew. And all glory to you. But Ronnie, that was quite a game at the weekend, hey? 20 all at halftime, really, really tight fixture. I felt like Saints were a bit sloppy in the first half and getting drawn into that Bordeaux, that French flair style, which didn't really suit them, but they did well to hold on. But 4 tries being disallowed, what did you think of that?
Yeah, that's a dramatic final. As a neutral, that's what you want to see, right? It's got everything. It's got the drama. It's got the tension. It's got the highs and the lows. So a very exciting game to watch. I thought it was refed pretty well. I know there's a lot of contention around that. We're seeing posts about who did what after the whistle blew. And I suppose you'll get onto that in a moment. But I thought it was a very exciting fixture and enjoyed the highlights a lot.
I think a lot of people are going to jump in at Nika Amashukeli in this game saying, you know, he was card happy or whatnot. But I actually feel he made good use of the TMO. Yes, the TMO frustrated the game a little bit and it was called on quite a lot. But there were incidents that needed to be looked at. And I thought he exercised a good discretion, you know, with the yellows, saying, yes, it was a shot to the head, but it was a static tackle. He was absorbing more than driving, giving it a yellow with many instances where we would have seen that go for a straight red. Same pulling Pollock's try back because they interfered and pulled Tamafuna at the line out. That for me was so silly because let's be honest, Ben Tamafuna was not going to catch anyone there. So there was no reason to be holding him back. But I thought really well done to the ref. Although the TMO was used a lot, I feel like it was used correctly. And I thought he used cool, calm head in assessing what sort of punishments to divvy out in this game.
Yeah, and he had a bit of a relaxed conversation with Pollock after the whistle blew too. So it's always nice to see a ref explaining themselves and going through the steps of rationalizing the decisions that get made. It's a very difficult job. A lot of quick decisions that need to get made throughout the game. And I actually feel the refs do a pretty good job of it. Of course, you're always going to be upset if you're on the losing side and if a call goes against you. But we're all just passionate fans and that's the nature of it.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. And in the final, with the stakes are this high, you're always going to have people upset. Speaking of, you know, the Saints guy saying that Bordeaux had a vendetta against Pollock. I'm sure they did. He's quite a cocky chap because he's having a good season. He's young, so he's a 20-year-old. Of course, he's going to be a little cocky. I don't know if you saw all the Bordeaux celebrations afterwards, also them all checking their pulse and making a bit of a piss take out of it. But I mean, that comes with the territory. You want to be the new kid on the block. You want to be the next big thing. Got to be able to take the hit and a bit of a, you know, a humbling at times.
I suppose you can only dream about being in a position like that, eh? Being front rows aren't really very exciting. Players at the age of 20, us Lucy's, you know, we're pretty quality. That's something that we have to often deal with.
Oh, yeah, that's true, Ronnie. Your greatness exceeds you, my friend. You know, it's a travesty of justice that no front rower has ever won World Player of the Year because everyone knows we're the best looking, we're the smartest, the toughest, and we just get overlooked for the higher honors. But that's not why we play this sport.
Whatever you have to say to make yourself sleep at night, buddy, you just know that it's a rubbish position. Probably all props should be removed from the game.
Yes, okay. You've been chilling with Matt and Clive a little too much.
Yeah.
Ronnie, then I thought Jalibo had a very good game for Bordeaux in this one. I thought he was keeping it very nice and controlled with the ball. But for me, Penaud and Bialbieri in the air, those guys were collecting kicks at will, the up and unders. I'm really making a mess of it. Saints giving away penalties and cards for taking the man in the air. I mean, Alex Mitchell's one I felt bad because his eyes really were on the ball the whole time. But you just can't touch a player in the air like that.
Look, this is the nature of the sport. And at some point, we have to realize there is an element of luck involved. And if it goes against you, it's not because you're a bad player. It's just because you were in the wrong position at the wrong time. That makes the sport very exciting. If every single decision was, you know, you could affect every single decision, then the game becomes a little too predictable. And I enjoy this sort of, I enjoy the gray area. It's what makes our sport unique. But yes, Jaber, Penaud, Bielbere doing exceptionally well. Good French players, well, especially BB, he does very well. He's going to be a huge name in the next decade to come. I feel the French answer to Chesham Colby for sure. And obviously Jaber and Penaud doing really well as seasoned French nationals. So yeah, look, I thought the people that put their hands up, I expected them to put their hands up, and they did their job, and they didn't take one step back, and they pushed Bordeaux over the finish line for their first ever win, which I was surprised at. I thought, you know, at some point, maybe why have they not won? But interestingly, the last five wins have all been by French sides. So
yeah,
French know how to win French, European rugby.
Yeah. Ronnie, it really was a good game to watch. It was well worth it. And I think we've got to give a shout out to the only South African involved on the day, being Ruan Jansen van Rensburg. He came on in about the 72nd minute for a cameo appearance there. But well done to him on his showing. And he's now got a European title after what can only really be described as being shunned from the Sharks. He's now on the rise in Bordeaux, like a fine wine.
What do you even know about wine?
I know that you wine a hell of a lot.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, look, it's always nice to, it's sad, you know, to see South African players leave our shores, but it is nice to see them find their feet elsewhere. And I'm happy. We've had some real legends of the game that have gone overseas and made a name for themselves, particularly in France. So a European trophy, mug, medal, what do they get? Yeah. Is their name? It's fantastic. All three.
Ronnie, then Candace asked me, and I'm curious for your view on it. Did Cheslin Colby make the scrum-capped winger a thing, or has this been coming for a long time?
I don't actually know. I'm trying to think of a scrum-capped winger prior to Cheslin Colby and the likes, and I'm sure there's here and there one, but maybe it's just Cheslin's been so good that we forgot about the rest.
Got something to do with aerodynamics. I can only think of Gio Aplon.
Gio Aplon, sure. I mean, Jason Robinson didn't wear scrum cap. Shane Williams.
Nope.
There's no one else. It's Jason Colby.
He's made it, hey? He's the one that brought the trend in. Ronnie, then over to the IRC that's coming up. It's the quarterfinals weekend. I've got tickets for Loftus this weekend, so I'll be there to see the Bulls take on Edinburgh. But starting off on Friday night, we have Glasgow hosting the Stormers. Kickoffs at 8:35 South African time on Friday evening. Damian Willems has received a 3-match ban. It's a pity he didn't manage to change his surname to Farrell in time. He would have been available for this weekend. But yeah, Damian unfortunately out for 3 weeks. If the Stormers don't progress, that's 2 Springbok games he'll also have to miss.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for him. But I think from a South African perspective, I'm not too concerned. We definitely have some depth. And I think Rassie wants to experiment regardless. So that's unfortunate for him. It is. I feel 3 weeks is harsh, right? But that's, we all know that this is how it's done now. These punishments are quite harsh.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ronnie, we're going to alternate here, and let's hear first, what's your prediction for Glasgow versus Stormers? Who's taking it and by how much?
Glasgow by 2.
I'm going to go Stormers by 8.
And I guarantee you will not pick Stormers by 8 on Super Brew, but okay, let's move on.
Ronnie, then we've got Bulls versus Edinburgh. That's a 13:30 kickoff, 1:30 p.m. at Loftus. Up here in the Highveld, Edinburgh beating the Bulls in the league stages of the competition. Now it's a rematch here. It's going to be Sean Everett up against Jake White. They previously did battle when he was leading up the Sharks against Jake's Bulls. And this one, I'm going to say the Bulls are going to take this by about 10 points. I think they're in form. They're on the rise. They've had some good games. They're back. Almost their squad is back to full fitness. And unfortunately, I'm going to be there to witness it.
Unfortunately, kind of a traitor comment of that.
I'm not a Bulls fan.
Yeah, well, you don't know what winning rugby looks like. Bulls by two.
You're just sticking to the safe one, hey? So you've got, the score can go to...
don't explain it. We don't need to explain the strategy to anyone. Let's carry on.
Ronnie, then we go to Leinster. They will be hosting Scarlets over in the Aviva. That's going to be a good game at 4 p.m. kickoff. Ronnie, who is going to take this one? And if you say Leinster by two, I'm just going to end the reward.
Leinster by 20.
By 20, eh? It's quite an imbalance if you think they're going to outdo Scarlets by that.
Why do you not think that a strong Leinster side can do it against the Scarlets?
No, I think Leinster by 30.
Okay. Yeah, it's arrogance, but okay.
Then I think probably one of the tougher fixtures for the week is the Sharks as the final quarterfinal of the weekend. They will be playing host to Munster down at Kings Park in Durban. Kickoff is 6:30 p.m. Now, the Sharks, as much shit as they get, have only lost four games this season. They've played very uninspiring rugby. But maybe that's the kind of rugby that wins you playoff games. We're going to have to see, Ronnie. So I'm going to have to back my boys in this one and say Sharks by five. What are you saying?
You remember what happened a few weeks ago when I said that I was going to back the opposition to the Sharks so that the Sharks would win? We had a conversation about...
Yeah, I remember you saying you were a traitor and then trying to explain why. But yes, go on.
Okay, so in order for the Sharks to win, I have to back Munster here. Munster by two.
How predictable, hey, Ronald. Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend, and the guys lining up there to play one another in a semi-final is the Bulls will likely host either of the Sharks or Munster, and Leinster will host likely the Stormers or Glasgow. So Bulls and Leinster, should they win, will be the hosts of both semi-finals. But as we know with playoff rugby, Ronnie, anything can happen on the day.
Anything can happen, and the URC has proven that Leinster tends to fall short the final hurdle, and so maybe we're lucky, maybe they lose to the Scarlets.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see, hey? It wouldn't be the first time an Irish side got knocked out in a quarter. Ronnie, over then to a couple of things in the news this week, and I think maybe we should start out with a bit of a shout-out to Reino Nel, crowned the world's strongest man. I mean, it had to be a South African. It's amazing to me that this is the first South African that won it. But the reason he's making it into a rugby podcast is because he actually represented the Cheetahs for a year in the Challenge Cup.
Honestly, I've never followed the sport of world's strongest man, but this is incredible. Honestly, this is incredible. He went from playing rugby and first goes to his first tournament and wins world's strongest man. And he's an engineer, no less.
Yeah, not an engineer like you in Germany, though. We know we don't trust German engineers, now that you're one of them.
Okay, let's move on to the next point. Well done, Reino. That was incredible. Let's just agree. That is awesome. I had no idea. I thought it was an absolute joke the first time I saw it on... I thought someone made a funny video. And it's legit. And that's incredible. Can't believe it.
Absolutely incredible. So shout out to him. Also, massive shout out to the Pumas, Ronnie. They were crowned SA Cup champions over the weekend. So your home base team, they're doing well there leading up to the Curry Cup.
No, it's my team. Well done to them. I had a conversation with the boys and just said, keep it up. And they said, thanks, Mr. Ronnie.
Yeah. I love how you like to claim that. You think old Jimmy was singing Sweet Caroline again?
Must have.
Absolutely. Then it was quite a surprise. Kyle pointed it out to me over the weekend, one of our followers. Japanese League One was on Supersport this weekend. We could watch it via 218, the ESPN channel. And we got to see the semi-final between Spears and Wild Knights. Malcolm Marx's team taking on the team with Damian Diarende and Luit Diaga. Marx's team were the underdogs, but he led them very hard and saw them through to a final. So yeah, quite cool to see that. Haven't seen those boys facing off with one another in quite a while at club level. So great to see, and great that that is on our screens a little bit.
A little bit, and that's the problem that I have. We've spoken about it before. It would be nice to have all the full Japanese league to watch because so many world-class players are playing there, and it's very exciting running rugby. So it would be nice if we could watch more of it.
Ronnie, then the World Cup draw for the 2027 Rugby World Cup in Australia has been announced. That's going to take place in December next year. So only, what, about 8 months out from the World Cup this time. Normally, it's been done a number of years in advance. That allows for a bit of extensive planning. So yeah, that shakeup is to avoid the mismatch we saw at the last World Cup, where the top teams are on one side of the draw in pools A and B, and the rest are left to fight out in pools C and D.
Look, from a competition perspective, I think that's very interesting. But you tell me, when are you buying tickets for the World Cup? When is this going to be reasonably possible to do so? I mean, 8 months out, the teams, the matchups gets announced. Suddenly, the pools are. You have no. You, up until 8 months, you have no idea who's playing where.
No, that's actually a very valid point that I hadn't thought of, Ronnie, because now, like you say, you're planning these tickets, you want to go to these games, putting out money for these packages, and you actually have no idea who's going to be playing where, what pool they're going to be featuring, and who their opponents are going to be. It does leave a lot to be desired in that regard.
Yes.
Then the URC schedule for next season has been announced as well, and it's going to be seeing an opening round of the Storm is hosting Leinster in Cape Town, so it's good to see that Leinster will be touring South Africa at the start of the season now and not at the end. They'll have to put out some of their frontline players this time. So I'm very curious to see how that goes because the last 2 seasons they've come at the back end where they've all but secured top of the log.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that, how they got that right too. Always be able to get so far ahead and then send their B string, C string down to South Africa. But now they really are going to have to step up at the beginning. Or maybe not. Maybe they do continue with their B team, C string side.
Ronnie, they must come play in our
But
heat.
they always come play in our heat. Let's see.
Then, Ronnie, just a thing, and I haven't prepped you on this point because I actually wanted to get your raw thoughts on this.
All right. So the absolute MaFoc Chom moment of the week has to go to Bordeaux winning their first ever European title. I was, like I said previously, I was very surprised to see them winning their first title, but the French sides have been doing, they're all class sides, and Bordeaux's done very well over in the French league, top 14. They're a difficult side to beat, and they've got some quality players. So, they put together a great performance to win it over in Cardiff.
Absolutely. So shout out to Bordeaux, shout out to Rohan. And yeah, boys, well done on a great title and your first title in the league.
And that's it for this week on the Rugby Punted. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of cheers. Don't forget to join us on Super Brew 2, where we'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.